Good evening. We greet you tonight in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of him that we are all here tonight. I want to thank each one of you for praying. I feel like I felt your prayers. I want to thank Art especially tonight for his prayer as he audibly prayed here for us. And I want to thank each one of you for being here tonight. I am especially thankful for family. It's a very humbling experience. The message that I feel God laid on my heart tonight is not a Christmas lesson or message. I think you may have expected that from the scripture that was read in the opening. But I want to direct our thoughts to something different. A good friend and minister brother gave me some advice upon being called to the ministry that I appreciated very much. He said a lot of what he preaches about are things that he has struggled with in the past, is struggling with now, or has had to deal with in his own heart and life. So I took that advice to heart, and that opened up a pretty broad spectrum of things for me to speak about. There are many needs, many struggles. And I'll start this calling with probably what I need the most, and that is getting into God's Word. Understanding some of the basics about the Word as it has been given to us. So I guess, as we're together tonight, if you'll just listen in while I speak to myself, maybe we can all gain something from what is said. The title of the message tonight is God's Word and Us. There's seven different aspects of God's Word that I want to look at, and I'll say briefly tonight. And I know that when we're finished, we will hardly have scratched the surface of what God's Word is capable of doing. But those aspects are what the Word really is, what the Word can do to us, what the Word can do for us, what the Word can give us, what the Word can do in us, what the Word can do through us, and what the Word can do with us. And as I jotted them notes down, I don't know that it's exactly proper to say it's what the Word can do as much as what the Word will do in all those areas. Bible reading and teaching of Christian values are no longer permitted in many schools in our nation today. It's not news to us, but listen to what a Russian delegate said as he was speaking at the American Christian Educators Convention in November, and this is back in 1992, about the absence of God's Word. 70 years ago, we closed God out of our country, and it has caused so many problems in our society that we cannot even count them. He says we must put God back into our country, and we must begin with our children. We want to begin tonight by looking at what the Word really is. And like I said, it involves and encompasses so much that there's no way we're going to be able to do more than just scratch the surface tonight. But I hope we can gain some good from what is said. The psalmist penned these words, "I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life." These are the words of life, the words that we have been given, that we read, hopefully every day. They are the words of life. There was a billboard in Florida that I seen on the computer news just recently that proclaimed that you can be a good person without God. And that was a small g. It was put up by an atheist organization. And I think the point they were trying to make is, who needs God? Who needs God's Word? We can each figure out what's good for ourselves. But then the questions come up. Who says what's good for you or me, or what's bad for you or me? Who sets the standards? The fact is that God's Word sets the standards, because the Word of God is pure. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 12, verse 6, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." The Word of God is pure. In fact, he goes further in Psalm 119, 140. He says, "Thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it." You know, when something's pure, it's pure. It doesn't matter how you view it, how we handle it, or anything else, our attitude toward it. It will always be pure. The writer of Proverbs 35 said, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him." You know, that cannot be said about anyone else ever. Every word of God is pure. The word of God is also eternal. It knows no end. It was in the beginning, according to what was read by Brother Art tonight, and it will follow through eternally. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." In Matthew 24:35, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." It will always be. It is settled. It is permanent. It is eternal. We don't need to question whether it will be there. It will always be. Another aspect of the word is that it is divinely inspired. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So divinely inspired is God's word that it is profitable for everyone. No one left out. Everyone can get good. And it is profitable for each one. I don't think that can be said about anybody else's writings either, that it can encompass everyone, no matter their needs, no matter the situation, the circumstance. Everyone can gain from God's word. Along with the thought of it being divinely inspired, 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The Holy Spirit moved holy men to do the work and to do the writing that God wanted written down for us to be blessed with this day. And as we look into the Word of God, it is really the mind of God and His will for each one of us revealed through the Lord Jesus Christ, as was read also in the opening scripture by Brother Art in John 1:1-4. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." John later wrote in 1 John 1:2, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." John says we've seen it, we've heard it, we've handled it. The word is pure, it's eternal, it's inspired. It is the mind of God. And like I said, as we go through here, there's so much that the Word of God encompasses that we're not going to be able to scratch the surface of it tonight. But that's a few brief statements or a brief overview of what the Word of God is. And next, we look at what the Word of God can do to us. You know, it affects people differently. Some people are affected at the first exposure of it, when God's Word is given to them. There's a need, they feel the need to do something about it. Others, it takes a longer period of time. But when Peter stood up and preached Jesus Christ to the crowd at Pentecost, in Acts 2, verse 37 says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? The fact is that the word pricked their hearts. It had that power to speak directly to the heart. And they had an urge to do something, to take action. Men and brethren, what shall we do? And of course, you know Peter's answer in the 38th verse, repent, believe, and be baptized. The word also can expose sin to us. In John 15:22, we read Jesus' words. He said, If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. And just prior to that, in verse 20 of that chapter, he says, Remember the word that I said unto you. So the word exposes sin to us, and sin is any act against God. The word also will find you. In Luke 15, we have different accounts where the word is finding that which was lost. The scripture would tell us that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 9:56 says, For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. I believe the word will find you, whether you are open to it or not. And each person, each individual will make the decision whether to hear or not to hear the word of God. Multitudes of people, and I say this cautiously, but seemingly stumbled onto God's word in extraordinary ways, and I know that was by God's design, and have found the power of the word, which is our next point, that the word comes to us with power. Hebrews 4:12, very familiar portions of scripture we're looking at here tonight, but it says there that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It pierces the heart. It divides lust and temptation from the true desire to be right and in a good relationship with our Creator. Discerns the good and evil thoughts and the intents of the heart, and prompts us to do good. That is how the Word of God comes to us. And also, it comes to us through our conscience. I don't know how many of you ever have experienced a troubled conscience. I can stand before you and say that I have numerous times. And the Word through our conscience will not allow us to rest when we do something wrong until we've made that wrong right, until we go back, ask for forgiveness, apologize, or whatever it takes to straighten the situation out. Romans 2:15 says, The work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. Our conscience will either accuse us or excuse us. The serious part of that is that we don't want to have a seared conscience that will excuse us in the wrong way. But the word shows us how unrighteous we really are and prompts us to repent and commit to live faithfully to it. Those are just a few of the things that the word can do to us. Now we want to look at some things that the word can do for us. When we realize that we are unholy before a holy God and we stand in need, the word tells us in John 15:3 that we can be cleansed through the word. Jesus said, Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The word has a cleansing effect. It is a cleansing agent. We need to go there for cleansing, and it will make us clean. The word also can make us wise and save our souls from eternal damnation. And back the thought just comes to me as I think about what the word really is. It's maybe not so much what the word really is, but who the word really is. Jesus Christ can save our souls. He is the word from eternal damnation. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, Paul writing to Timothy, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The Word can make us grow. Another thing that it can do for us, we are to desire. 1 Peter 2:2 says, the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. We need the Word to grow. We are commanded in the Word to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to continually be in the Word to grow. The Word is a light for our way. It's a guide for our every step. The psalmist wrote that in 119, 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Some of the things that the Word can do for us is to light our path as we go along from day to day. When the Word is in our heart, it will keep us from sin and sinning. Yes, we're still human. We still fight the carnal nature, and we will still fall at times, but we won't live in a sinful state. Through the Word, one of the things it will do for us is to keep us from sin. The psalmist also wrote about that in 119:11. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Another thing the Word can do for us is to help us to overcome temptation. Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness, himself used the Word. In Matthew 4:4, when he was tempted by the devil, he said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. His Word will help us not to succumb to temptation. Again, just a few of the things that the Word can do for us. I want to look at a few things that the Word can give us. I have 7 listed here. Among the many gifts that the Word gives us is that of hope. Colossians 1:5 says, For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before in the Word of the truth of the gospel. The Word gives hope. The scripture would tell us if we have hope in this life only, we are of all men most miserable. We can have the hope of eternal life through the Word that we have been given. And what a blessing that is. One of the greatest things that a man can have and hold on to is hope. Faith, hope, and love, the 3 greatest things that we can have. The Word also gives freedom. In John 8:31-32, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. For those bound up in chains of satanic and demonic powers, the word offers and gives freedom from any chains. And I was impressed in our Sunday school lesson this morning as the demons that were in them swine, or that were in them demon-possessed people, knew they didn't have a chance. That when Jesus came, there was no question. What are you going to do to us? Are you going to cast us out before our time? Putting it in my own words. They knew they didn't have a chance. That's the power of God, the freedom that God can give. There is tremendous power in Satan, but we have an awesome power in God. There is no chance for the devil to grab a hold of us when we, through the Word, submit to the Word. We have freedom through it. The Word also gives us assurance of salvation through Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:13, and I think this is one of the ways that Satan works on a lot of people. Many times we doubt our salvation. We doubt whether we are saved. In 1 John 5:13, it says, These things have I written unto you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. There's no room for doubt and fear. We can know for certain here and now that we are saved through the Word. One of the blessings that the Word gives us, and the Word also gives blessing to those who read it. If we are into the Word, we will be blessed by reading it, understanding it, and following it obediently. Revelation 1:3 says, Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, speaking of the revelation of Jesus Christ, but I believe it goes with all Scripture, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. There is tremendous blessing for getting into the Word. We can enjoy those blessings here and now as well as in eternity ahead. The Word also gives us insight into the mind of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Those of the world cannot see the things that we as Christians see and feel and know because of the Word. C.H. Spurgeon told of a woman who asked Joseph Turner while he was painting, "Why do you paint such extravagant colors into your pictures? I never see them in nature." "Don't you wish you did, ma'am?" he replied. His answer was sufficient. He could see them, even though she couldn't. And the same is true for those that are in the Word versus those that are not in the Word. The Word also gives us the Holy Spirit to guide us day by day. Acts 10:44 says there, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the Word." We receive the Word through we receive the Holy Spirit through hearing, believing, and accepting the Word. What a blessing it is to have the Holy Spirit living in our lives. The Word also gives comfort in times of need. And that's one of the things it can do or can give to each one of us. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, that's speaking of the coming of the Lord, but it says there, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And I think that could go along with all Scripture. We can comfort one another with the words of Scripture. We are to find great comfort in knowing our Lord is going to return. There is comfort in the Word for any situation in life. And when I thought of that, I had to think of Peter's words when he said, where else can we go to find comfort? Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." So there are seven things that the Word can give us. That is hope, freedom, salvation, blessing, insight, the Holy Spirit, and comfort. Now some things that the Word can do in us. Deuteronomy 6:6 says, and it's a command there, that these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. For the Word to be able to do anything in us, it has to be in us. Pretty basic statement, I guess, but a very true statement. In Colossians, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossian believers in 3:16, saying, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." If the word is in us, it will put a song in our heart. We can enjoy our daily situations, whatever they are. We can be encouraged by hymns and spiritual songs, by the Word that is in us. By the Word being in us, we become part of the family of God through Christ Jesus, the Word. Jesus said in Luke 8:21, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the Word of God and do it." When we are into the Word, believe, follow, practice, and obey it, we are part of the family of God. We become joint heirs with our Lord. And that, again, was brought out in the scripture that Brother Art read in the opening in verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." We are joint heirs with our Lord. If the word is in us, we will not be empty and useless. 2 Peter 1:8 says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." We can and will be productive Christians, productive citizens, I believe, if we have the Word being a part of our lives. We need to study the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "To study, to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I believe this is telling us that we can be approved unto God if we study and have the Word in us, by the Word being in us. And just the Word in us in a knowledgeable sense is not enough. John 5:39, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Jesus said knowledge itself is not enough. We need to put our trust, faith, and obedience in the Word and practice what we know the Word to teach. John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." The other side of that is in John 3:18, "But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And I think that's more than just knowledge. It's putting our trust and faith, our total being, into the Word, believing what is there for our good. We can put on a good front, but I tell you, if the Word is not in us, it will come out. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, and it really comes down to what's inside will come out and show the real you or I. And again, it's just a few things to show us what the Word can do in us. And just a few thoughts on what the Word can do through us. Matthew 28:19-20, Jesus gave the Great Commission, and he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." The Word, the gospel message, can be spread to the world through us. Does he need us? Well, I guess technically no, he does not really need us, but he does want us. And he asks us to spread it. That was a command that he gave us. And the fact that he, the Creator, would want us to carry his message should give us great zeal to go forth with it. I believe one of the most devastating things anyone can experience in life is to be unwanted. And that is never the case in the Lord's camp. We said earlier that the Word has comfort for us as believers, and I believe that comfort can flow through us to others. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." I think that's telling us that God's comfort can flow through us to others. One of the things that the Word can do through us is to give comfort when it's needed. The Word can also nourish others in their Christian walk through us. 1 Timothy 4:6 says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." And I believe that is telling us that we, through the Word, can nourish others and ourselves by sharing the Word. The Word also builds faith in us and through us, as it is shared in teaching and ministering. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." I won't go into it tonight, but that particular verse has tremendous meaning for me and has had deep meaning for me for many years. The Word encourages us, or encourages others through us also. You know, when testimonies are shared and we hear what the Word of God is doing in others' lives, it is an encouragement to us. I love to hear what God is doing in others' lives and like to hear the testimonies. And I hang my head in shame as Brother Jim, I see him, bless him, sitting back there. I'm glad he can talk again, has shared with us on numerous occasions that we should talk. But we can encourage each other through the Word, what it is doing in our lives and in the lives of others. Acts 14:27, speaking of Paul and Barnabas, "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. It's just great to hear testimonies of what the Lord is doing, and it encourages the believers to fall closer to the Word. At times when we're faced with the enemy, when there's adversity, I think the Word can be shared boldly through us. In Acts 4:13, it says about Peter and John, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I think the Word can be boldly shared through us because of Jesus, if we have it in our hearts and in our lives. Just some of the blessings that can flow through us to others by the Word. And then, lastly, in our thoughts tonight is what the Word can do with us. And again, I say we have simply touched on a few of the things that the Word can do tonight. This Word, God's Word, needs to be received, believed, accepted, and practiced just as it is. There are curses and blessings in the Word, and it needs to be taken very seriously, and it needs to be taken just as it is. Revelation 22:18-19 tell us, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues which that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." We need to take this Word, the Word of God, very seriously, just as it is. Still looking at the Word, in the final analysis, when the pages of time are closed on each one of us and eternity stands before us, the question will be, how well did we do with His Word? Jesus said in John 12:47-50, "If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." The final action of the Word for each one of us is that this Word that we have before us tonight is our judge. So I leave you with the question, why shouldn't we take his Word to heart and live faithfully to it and for him? When he comes with power over all the nations of the earth as the rider of the great white horse in Revelation 19:13. We read there, and Brother George mentioned this morning in his sermon. It says he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Jesus Christ, the Word. In closing, I share this summary of the message tonight. Is not original with me. I don't know who penned it, but I believe it fits very well with the message tonight, and I believe it is very well put together. And it goes like this: the Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here paradise is restored, heavens open, and the gates of hell disclosed. Jesus Christ is its grand subject, our good, the design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life. It will be opened at the judgment. It will be remembered forever. It involved the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. We have the word before us tonight. What will we do with it? I'll just add this as a footnote to the message tonight. Kind of